Welcome to our Hogmanay special of 10 Things I Hate About an Outlander podcast. Happy New Year, everyone, to all our listeners, from myself, Sharon, and my lovely podcast partner, Ruth. And a big thank you for tuning in for each episode so far. We hope you enjoy this extra special episode of the podcast. We certainly enjoyed recording it for you.
We all have our favourite shows, but there's always something that comes along that means you like it a little less. The technical term is the Scrappy-Doo effect. Two friends create a safe space to talk about their favourite show, Outlander, all the things they love and some of the things they hate. Although we all love Outlander, there are things we hate. Admit it, there's always something. So we've created a safe space, a space for all Outlander lovers to share their dark secrets. But mainly, it's a space to share ours. Every week, we'll discuss episodes, their themes, feminism, what we love, and every week, we'll talk about something we hate. Roger. Yep, we hate him. But let's be clear, we don't hate Rick Rankin. We have a clear grasp on reality. So join us, gentle viewer. Join Sharon and Ruth, two England-based Outlander fans, as they discuss love, hate, and time travel.
We're here. For the Hogmanay special.
For the Hogmanay special. We hope everybody has had a good Christmas.
Yeah. And we haven't had, because I know we haven't had an episode out for a couple of weeks, but
no.
We thought this would be a nice kind of like interlude over the festive period. So we didn't want to take a full on break, but we did want to, this is almost mine and Ruth's way of celebrating Christmas together and New Year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like a little office Christmas party.
Basically, just put in a piece of tinsel on top of Outlander.
We need to find some of that, like some of those really bad like clip arts, like of our draw to Outlander in Scotland. So we couldn't think of a better way to celebrate than with a Hogmanay special. And so the if you heard what we put out last week, which is just a couple of minutes explaining what we're going to be doing today, but we're not reviewing any of the episodes.
No.
We're just talking about 10 things we love about Outlander.
We've both got lippy on, we've both got our booze, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say that
tea,
if you hear us gulping through the mic, it is us gulping booze.
We really should have got whiskey, shouldn't we, in the real spirit,
in
but
real
we haven't. But we'd be absolutely wasted. We're necking whiskey for an hour.
Exactly. No, we'll save that for when we're doing it, when we finally do an episode in person. We might try and get an episode in person in Scotland.
And any listeners who are in Scotland who would like to invite us to their castle, put us up in their castle. And I am very specific. We love you wherever you live, and there's no judgment in here about income. Or how much money you earn or any of that. But if you've just got a flat in Glasgow, that's great for you. But we'd particularly like to record in a castle. this is a shout out specifically to the castle owners.
And we have to usually, I may not sound like it on the podcast, but we usually are very organized. It may not sound like it, but we do. We have a shared Google Doc where we add notes.
There's planning involved.
And there is planning involved. And also, can I just say, what we wanted to say was a little spoiler alert, but it's not going to be just for anyone who is literally following Outlander along with us for the first time, which I don't think a lot of people will be. But in case you are, we're not going to spoil any like actual plots or anything like that, or give away, anything that you wouldn't know otherwise. But we might just talk about characters that haven't come in yet. Which, do you want to, will we kick off with number one?
Yeah, I think we should start big. If you hear what the number one is, you will probably just go, okay, stay with this. We don't care about the rest. Who cares? Exactly. Who cares what your number seven is? So, yeah, we're going to start in a non-traditional fashion with number one, and that is sex.
Yeah.
We all think about it. We very rarely talk about it, except if you're on this podcast. Except for you're on this podcast and watching this show.
And watching Outlander. So,
which
yeah.
is, yeah, one of our favourites, I think, of...
For sure. We both watch other programmes that have sex in, and then we'll always compare it to Outlander.
Yeah. It ruins you for everything because you just kind of look at it. And also, do you know what I was thinking when we said this? Like, it's just, it's so well done. It's so well coordinated. I mean, it obviously helps that they have such good chemistry. I remember when Normal People came out on BBC last year. And there's a huge thing. And they did it so well. It was so well choreographed. And they had, what do they call it? They had like a sex choreographer.
Oh, intimacy coordinator.
Intimacy coordinator. That was it. And they had made it was a big deal here in the UK. They had like made a big deal about the fact they kept saying we had this intimacy coordinator, choreographer, whatever. And both actors spoke about how it made it so easy. And you know, Outlander came out so many years before that.
Yeah.
It's like, and they've done so, like, did such an amazing job of it. And it wasn't, I was like, how have they not referred to this? Like, when, you know, it was just when Normal People came out, it was, and obviously it was a BBC thing, so I know it's going to be bigger, but
all the whole shebang. Mm. And I think, you know, the thing that is amazing is that you can, the thing that those two actors do so well is you genuinely believe they want to fuck each other.
Yeah.
And that they can't keep their hands off each other. That is what they do so well. It's like, in a way, the rest of it is irrelevant because you believe that. You believe their chemistry. And that makes you think, holy shit, this is really hot.
Yeah, and so there's such a sense of urgency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. So I think that, for me, is a massive thing. I think in season one, it's so much about female pleasure. Start of an episode of him going down on her.
Yeah,
her orgasm. Yeah,
after they make up.
And he touches her and doesn't want, she's like, I want you, I want you inside. And he's like, no, I want, you know. And all of that,
I just want to pleasure you.
Yeah, and all of that is like, I think that is really significant in season one, how much her kind of pleasure is centered in it all.
Yeah, because it's almost like that one you're talking, I think that's the one after the, when he's going down on her, it's when they're, when they've just made up.
Yes, it is.
And so the next episode opens and then Myrta knocks on the door.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's just like, no, like it's him, not her. And he's like, no. And he like pulls her legs like towards him. And you're just like, oh my God, this is so fucking hot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so hot. Exactly. And he's just like, I'm not giving up on this. You know, he's just like determined. And then the other one is, is when he brings her to the stones, but she doesn't know that she's at the stones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think a lot of that is, so that sort of desire for each other, that Katrina Balfe and Sam Hune convey so well, that, you know, where they have bits where they just look at each other and you just think, if nobody else was here, they would fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is really great. So I think that's a big thing for me. I think how much they center female pleasure is a massive thing. But other characters have sex, and we won't talk about that because that is a spoiler.
Sorry, I was just imagining something.
That'll be on our hate list, everybody. that is a Teenage Titans spoiler, apologies. Other characters have sex. You don't have that passion. You don't feel that passion. You don't think, woof.
Yeah.
Like you do when it's those two.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like, I love the way, and this is, you know, I think everyone on the listening to the podcast knows this, like, six seasons now. It doesn't, like, I'm not sure if anything compares to the first season, but it still exists, you know. It's so good, and it's such a telling for those two actors. Like, do you remember, like, in, you know, in like just other series from like when we were growing up, and
like, you know, it would, like, especially something like a l really long running, like Friends or something, where they
Yeah.
like the first, the initially, like Ross and Rachel, they were so, the chemistry was just like boom, and then like, you know, 9 seasons later, you're like, is this for real? It's like watching like two siblings kiss. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
Like, it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
really gross. It just doesn't seem to happen with them. It's
No,
amazing, even
it
though they're like
doesn't.
they're closer as people and human
Yeah,
beings.
yeah.
That chemistry is still there. Like the
Yeah, they're
way they
so
look
great
at each
at it.
other, they're
Yeah.
so good.
They're really good. They're really
I think, like, I remember reading an article about it for about that Katrina Boff did, and she did talk. She like, because I guess you can't deny the chemistry,
No,
and you know, I guess that's a
goodness,
big thing.
no.
Like, you can't deny it, and it's one of the things she talked. She was like, and I found it so lovely. And she said, you know, we couldn't deny that chemistry when we first, you know, auditioned together. And when we got the parts, we took a long walk together, and we made a pact that this would never go further. And I was like, oh, that's it was just so lovely to like
Yeah.
that, you know, they're almost like they're, I don't know, it's almost like they're, it's so much more precious to that everything else is. So it's like, why would we give in to this when,
Yeah.
you know, this chemistry putting so much at risk,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
for what?
Yeah.
And I just respected it so much, and it's just so, yeah, it is lovely to see how they still, like, yeah, they still just are so good together on screen.
Yeah, it's not that we just want sex, it's that we want that sex. We want the sex that they bring to the screen, and that is the different thing. This isn't like, just give me some kind of, I was gonna make a really 80s reference to like Jackie Collins type soft porn kind of thing. We don't, it's not just that it's like sex for sex sake. It's like it's very specifically their sex,
It's very,
and I think,
and it's also in different, it's like that we need each other now. Like,
yeah,
it's the we need each other. Like, there's a nervous one with like the wedding and stuff, and then in series 3 that's gonna come up, it's like that nervousness, and then there's the like we need each other now,
yeah.
like rip each other's clothes off, like on the hillside with the British deserters, that way. And then there's the when we're fighting, and like, which is, and
Yeah.
like that, which is also like amazing. And it's just, and then there's the really tender, you know, quiet and calm,
Yeah,
and but just like absolutely
exactly.
madly in love, sex. And it's just so good no matter what. It's so good.
And so now I'm going to go on to my little gripe. So this is like maybe a tiny hit in the list of love.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you said
And
that, yeah.
it always bothers me, and her reasoning really irritates me. And I don't know why I didn't list this in my hate for the but I think we were getting distracted with other things, is that she always orgasms from penetrative sex. And then her, when he asks about it, when he, because obviously he's the inexperienced one. And he's the one that's kind of learning from her. And when he says, like, he was told that women don't enjoy sex and things like that. And when he thinks he's hurt her when she's actually coming, and he asks, does that always happen? And she said, no, only if the man's a really good lover.
Really
And
good
I'm just
lover,
like, oh, that is a bit of a romantic, it's like, really?
Oh my God, you're so
No.
right.
It's literally the second time he's had sex in his entire life. Nobody's got that skill quite there, so just that explanation always irritates me, because obviously some women can orgasm from penetrative sex, but a lot of women can't.
Can't,
So I
yeah.
just think it would have been an opportunity for a female author, for a program that's got a lot of women writers and women execs, to not propagate that myth.
Yeah,
That,
it's
I
just
mean,
so.
I know that the audience for Outlander is going to be like, 92% women, but still, that's putting
But
pressure on
still.
all of us.
Oh my God, you're so right. It's such a good point. Like, absolutely. 100% be like, okay, yeah, that was great. Now, do your.
Let's finish.
Let's finish. So you're done.
There's a little bit more work to go.
A little more work to do, babe. So get going.
You know, the sex is part of it, but really it's the passion and desire. I think in a weird way, well, it's not weird. I think this is why, you know, so many people and so many women love it. It's like, who wouldn't want to be wanted that much?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to be desired that much?
Should we move on to our next?
Yeah, move on to the next one. And this was your addition to the list. So I'll let you kick off. And that was feminism.
Yes.
This is where everybody turns this episode off. Oh, they've talked about the sex. We're not bothered about the rest.
No, it gets better. It gets better.
There's honestly, stick with us, listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so empowering to watch. I mean,
yeah,
so many subjects we've already brought up in every episode, and we'll continue to bring it up in every episode because it's just so amazing to watch something and feel, feel empowered and good and feel like your voice is being heard and feel like, you know, it's a big thing. And I think what makes it so stark is that we're watching something set in the 1700s and this is like coming through, and not only that, it's not like she's coming from,
you know, how much is her voice and how much is like through her eyes, you know, to the point that where, you know, we've even commented in episodes about how it feels wrong when it's his voiceover.
Yeah.
You know, how much it centers like her voice, her experience. You know, there are still probably, you know, women are still the minority characters in the program, but, you know, and it probably just passes the Bechdel test. When female characters talk to each other, they're not talking about men, but they're not necessarily talking to each other as much, but that you're presented with a complex woman who, you know, has knowledge above that of men, especially when she goes back to the,
especially in the past
18th century, especially her medical knowledge far exceeds anybody's of that time.
Yeah. And even in the present time.
Yeah.
She's the only woman studying.
So I think that is, I think just having that, having, especially, and then what I would say is having that in what is romantic fiction.
Yeah.
You know, usually women can be a bit one dimensional.
And like meek and taken care of.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and she's not any of those things. And I think, you know, she is, and none of that comes easily to her. It's like not that is presented as being something that is easy and manageable and like unchallenged. It's like that's happening all the time. She's, you know, it's challenged in the present. I use the present loosely because obviously it's not our present. And then it's challenged in the past as well. So it's not like it's something that it's just like happening and it's easy. I think that's really important.
Absolutely.
then deals with things that are difficult subjects for a lot of women to navigate. You know we've talked about it in terms of things like child loss, you know, miscarriages, abortion, you know, all of these complex things that women have to navigate in life.
Contraception,
all of those, you know, even how, you know, how sex workers are presented, you know, because we have them quite a lot in the past, but how they're presented and how, you know, so I just think all of that stuff is really, I'd be really interested to know how other people experience and see Outlander and the feminism in it.
Yeah, for sure. It's It just keeps me coming back, and it keeps me going back to not just coming back for what's new, but going back to to what it was, and to, you know, back obviously back to season one. I mean, it's on repeat.
It's the best one. Let's all admit it.
But yeah, no, it definitely is.
Prove me wrong, listener, if you think season three is better than season one.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, no, that was one of my things that keeps coming back.
Sex and feminism.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what more do you need from life? Really? Whiskey, maybe.
Yeah, I think, whiskey, definitely.
I think we're covered. Yeah. And we've not even put whiskey on the list.
No, we haven't, have we? No.
I mean, I could have done a whole thing about the glassware.
Yeah.
But I think that's just my thing. And most people are like, oh, she's talking about the bloody glassware again.
Yeah, when we have an in-person recording, you just get a... I wonder, would we obviously get ourselves a bottle of sauce enough to...
I think we have to. I have to at some point have a bit of a rant about that. Not about it that itself, but about some reviews that I read on a online shop.
Oh, yes, please.
Should I do that now?
Yeah, what
can I rant? But this takes me off my love list.
Okay, go on, just quickly divert. Okay.
So I was looking at whiskies and I thought, I'm going to just quickly look and see how expensive it is. And it's quite inexpensive.
It is quite pricey.
I buy whiskey quite a lot and it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I'm going to have a quick read of the reviews. And because it had got like nearly 5 stars. And then the reviews that were negative, it was really interesting. It was sexism played out in a world that you would expect it to, you know, because obviously whiskey is very much associated with men and, you know, a bit like, you know, other things that men decide are theirs and not ours. But it was like sort of saying, you know, most of the people buying this and reviewing it are women who just fancy Sam Hune and don't know anything about whiskey. And I thought, can't they do both? And I mean, it might not be very nice. I don't know. I've not tried it. It might be rank, and we might be all getting suckered by Sam Hune. But that really pissed me off.
Yeah, that would that really all, piss all
these,
me off.
All these women who had bought it and had reviewed it, their
taste
judgment of it
worthy
was not worthy because they were only buying it because they fancied Sam Hune. Well, I mean, but anyway, that was just that's a little sidebar. Seeing that we're talking about feminism, that just really, really got on my nerves. Sorry, listener, I took us off on a tangent there. The next one on the list is knitwear and then clothes generally.
Yeah, clothes generally. Knitwear. Oh, I always go back to season one because, and I think it might be that, you know, that it's new, it's like we need to make everything look attractive. Kind of thing, you know, they're both like, even like her makeup in season one, it's never as perfect. Like she's always a little bit raw. They almost like made her a bit too, like when I go, you know, when you've watched all the seasons, then you go back to season one, you're like, oh my God, she's like, it's ridiculous how amazingly made up she is. So it's almost like in the same vein. Yeah.
It is amazing. It's such a good coat. And then obviously all the French fashion is fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to wear any of it. If somebody put me in a corset, I'd have fainted.
Yeah.
Because my lung capacity would have shrunk so much. How anybody got any work done with a corset on, I'll never know. I mean, apparently it was a bit of a class thing and you didn't wear one if you were a working woman. But, you know, the amount of how people didn't die of heat exhaustion with the amount of clothes that they were having to wear and the weight of them.
I mean, I'd love to see them in real life. Oh my God, we should do that as a...
I mean, maybe they'll do an exhibition.
We should do like an Instagram live if they do. We go on a little tour.
Yeah.
I just love layering. I love all the layer, all the
Yeah, all the exactly. Woolens, it's very like you.
I just love it. Yeah. I just love, I mean,
the
fact that
I bought a winter scarf inspired by the scarf that she wears in series one.
Given that you just don't feel the cold as well. I mean, like exactly, minus 40. I mean,
although last week, even I was tested.
Yes, it's been quite...
this is classic. The UK listener. So if you're listening from Canada, yeah, or you live in Colorado, or you live in Norway, yeah, don't be laughing when I say it was minus six. But minus six is quite low in the UK. All right,
nothing functions.
All right, Scottish Highlands. Love. Next. Just Scotland. We just put Scotland, people.
Yeah,
Scotland.
We just put Scotland.
I mean, what's inspired, not to like?
It's inspired so many holidays that I'm just dreamy of and have gone on. I just love it.
Well, I mean, the past 3 years, I've been to Scotland.
Yeah.
And you just, it's funny. I can't really explain this any better than this. It's small, but it's massive.
Yeah.
Because
vast, so vast.
You just cannot do it justice in a short period of time. But I think, you know, it is a character in the programme.
It's so, yeah, it's so beautiful.
And it's just so beautiful. And I actually like the fact that they have stayed in Scotland to keep filming it all, including when they're not supposed to be in Scotland.
When
it's the States,
putting that money in. Yeah.
And
they keep pushing that money into the economy. Yeah. It's really good.
Massive investment they've made into the Scottish film industry.
Yeah, just, and it's inspired like a big holiday for us. A couple of years ago, we went up to Inverness, and then we drove in February. I drove into the Cairngorms because I was like, I have to see this, and it didn't doesn't disappoint. I was like, I want to see this for real. Into the Cairngorms, which is like, you know, the mountains where Ben Nevis is, and like one of the highest mountains in Scotland, and it's all around that area, very white, very beautiful. And then we drove down to the Isle of Skye, which is where a lot of Outlanders is. A lot of very brief shots are filmed, but it has that landscape in Skye features a bit in Outlander. And it was, again, just doesn't disappoint. The people don't disappoint. The food doesn't disappoint. Anyone listening from not the UK, I cannot talk about the food in Scotland enough. I think the UK gets a very bad rap for the food, and I think it's one of the best in the world. I think what's on offer has surpassed itself in the last 20 years. It's one of my favorite places to go. We've been to Scotland a few times now, and every time I go, I'm just like, no matter what little inn or pub you go to, you have a list of whiskies that could go on for pages.
Yeah.
You get about three choices of food, and without a doubt, it will be absolutely spectacular. The people are just so lovely, so welcoming, just so delighted that you're there. So the whole Scottish thing for me was just like, I think there's like, for me, there's a bit of a kinship with the Celtic like origin as well, and which is when I love when they speak Scots Gaelic in Outlander, because as an Irish person who grew up speaking Irish, the similarities are massive. Yeah. So I can until I started watching Outlander, I didn't actually realize how similar it was, and going on a Scotland inspired trip from Outlander, and then just like seeing like things written down and signs and stuff, I was like, oh my god, I actually understand everything. And that just, yeah, it just really, there's just so much complexity there that love about Scotland, and it just makes me want to, like you say, you just, nothing's the same. You have to keep going back. Yeah. Every time you go back, it'll be something different. I've done like some of the islands, the Highlands, the cities, and I'm desperate to go to the Outer Hebrides now, and
yeah,
it will be another different experience again.
And I think that's one of the, I actually think that's a really important thing that they do in the TV series, which is have Gaelic spoken in the programme. I mean I think that's really important. Obviously Wales has for listeners who don't know, but, you know, Wales have made a big effort over the past few years to not only sustain but increase Welsh speaking again in Wales. And I think so to recognise that the nations of the UK have their own language, and that English isn't the language of those places, and that in England, Britain, you know, that was a part of a culture that was destroyed, and is kind of shown as that, I think is really important. Really.
Yeah, I think it's, and I love the way they, like, in Outlander, they have like full blown conversations, like full on like 4 minute conversations, like especially in the end of season one with Jamie and Myrta. When Jamie just kind of wants to give up, and they have like a, you know, there's a whole scene of that, which is really nice. And then there's just the odd word. So yeah, I love it, love it, love it, love the Scottish.
I also think one of the things that it really makes me laugh, and this leads us nicely on to the next thing on our list, is where Claire has written the note to them.
Oh, I love that!
And she's written it in Gaelic, and Myrta goes, she's even spelt help wrong. She also makes me laugh so much.
Every time.
I just kind of think, it's literally an impossible language. You know, as somebody who kind of is coming at it as somebody who is not particularly good at languages generally, as a written word and how it sounds are completely different. But that little throwaway line, it just makes me laugh every time.
So funny. And Jamie's like so distressed, and he's
and
Mersha's just concerned about her
how badly she's written Gaelic. She's like, she's even spelled help wrong. But that leads us nicely on to the next thing on our list, which is Myrta.
I think
we could do a whole episode on Myrta. I feel like I could do, if somebody did a montage of, I think I might have said this in a previous podcast, but somebody's done a montage of Sean Bean saying fuck,
yeah,
in, you know, and I think that is hilarious. But I think if somebody had done, and maybe we can do this, a montage of Myrta's stern looks or frowns, that would make me happy. I'd literally watch an episode of that.
I'd put that in my happy folder for
that'd be like, oh, what do I need to cheer me up? Just a montage of Myrta frowning and, you know, looking sternly. I just think he's great.
I think he's great. He's a great addition to Jamie and Claire, like a threesome. Yeah, I think he's such a good balance. He's so because we don't ever see Jamie's parents.
Yes,
he's such I think it was quite important for them to show, like, obviously we fall in love with Jamie almost immediately, but I think it's good to have that additional side where you're like, this person is clearly very invested in him, and you almost need, because no one else is cheering his corner, you know, even at the start, like Claire is not cheering his corner, his uncles aren't cheering his corner, he's constantly getting the shit beat out of him, like at every fucking dinner that's going on, like, I mean, you're just like could someone, like, you know, vouch for this man, or are we like seeing things here?
And they have a week where he doesn't have a new injury. Give him a break for once. A paper cut, maybe, but, you know, no more than that.
Yeah. And then him and Claire go on this lovely journey together, and then they bring him into the fold in season two, which is
100% credit to the makers of the TV series making the decision to turn what is a very, like, a character that I think doesn't even have dialogue in the books into this absolute heart of the TV show. And like, I just think it is like one of the best decisions they made on that show.
Agreed.
And the fact that they is some of my favorite bits are that.
Yeah. Anyone who's followed us up to this point with the episodes, you know, you're still in for a treat. So it's good. Yeah. Good stuff.
Definitely. I'm gonna just switch the list around And this is where we do spoiler alert, because this is where we're going to talk about a character that hasn't yet appeared. If you are watching the show along with us, like if you've never seen it before, and I do know one person who is doing that, so I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Henriette. Fergus Marsley, I think almost like we could talk about them as individuals, but also as a couple.
Yeah, they're so good. So if you're following along, Marsley hasn't come in yet, but if you're ready for the next episode of the podcast,
you might have finished season three, so you might already know what we're gonna
talk
about.
But they're two, they're two that are just so fabulous. I love them. I love their chemistry. I think they're probably the only two that can, you know, hold anything to Claire and Jamie when it comes to chemistry.
Yeah, and because I think it's a different type of chemistry as well. I think there's just like a real gentle sort of softness.
Yeah. They're so lovely.
That I think works really well, especially in the later series. I think they're really good.
The complexity is as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but like, they do. I think they do so well with just like fleshing out those two characters, fleshing out their relationship, fleshing out the hurdles they need to get over. I just love like Fergus, like and Jamie and Claire.
Oh yeah, like little tiny Fergus and adult Fergus.
Little tiny Fergus and then big Fergus, little and big,
little and big,
little and big,
which is becoming a theme, as you'll soon see.
I think they're so good. I love Marsley. I think she's, again, strong female character, knows what she wants, not afraid to back chat, not afraid to stand up for what she believes in.
But also, I think
she's a legend.
Both of them benefit from having Jamie and Claire as like role models and like parents, you know, even though they're not their biological parents. And I think how they evolve as people as a result of being
around them. Yeah.
Claire and Jamie's lives is just really lovely.
Which is a great, again, so lovely. It must be such a lovely set, because they all seem to just adore
nobody
each other.
Please nobody spoil that for us. If it's horrible,
please don't want to know. What you said you were going to combine the last two.
Yeah, I've switched them around because we've got our next list. I'm just gonna lump all of this together and then we can pick it apart like tear and share bread. And I'm sure these people will really love that I've just compared them to that. Lord John, young Ian, hot men. Hot men is the end of the list. This is where we go full circle, gang.
I thought we had old Ian in there, young Ian and
yeah,
old
but we
Ian.
Old Ian falls in hot men.
I'm sorry that he didn't get it.
Because you put Lord John and I was like, I'm not really bothered about Lord you're John. I really love young Ian.
Yeah. And I wouldn't love, the thing is, I don't associate Lord John with being one of the hot men.
No, I'm glad.
I love Lord John. I just love Lord John. I love, it's really hard to talk about him without giving away loads of spoilers.
Yeah.
But I just think him and Jamie work really well together on screen. I thought it was a really good kind of additional kind of complexity to bring into it. It kind of brings us back to Jamie's trauma a bit, but also him being confronted with someone who couldn't be more opposite to to what he's experienced.
Yeah.
And his understanding and his, you know, I just really enjoy watching. I've just watched, obviously preparing for the next recording. I just really enjoyed watching the first half of season three again.
Yeah.
So if you haven't, you won't know Lord John yet. If you haven't watched that yet, but if you're preparing for the next episode, you definitely will. And and then it kind of goes on. So I know he's in it a little bit now, but he kind of goes back into it, and I really enjoyed him. But you brought up Ian as well.
Yeah, but one of the things I do like about Lord John is Dave Berry's performance, and one of the things I really like is like how he has this. He does this like really gentle voice.
Yeah,
and I just think that's really. I think that's a really good, it's a good way, you know, because obviously he's like a military person, he's an army officer, he's British, and, you know, obviously they're supposed to be like the villains to some degree, you know, up until this point you know, that we've not particularly had them as the good guys. But I think, you know, his kind of the gentleness that he brings, and especially the kind of quite a gentle voice that he brings, is a really good way of just like shifting that character a little bit. To show that he's different,
definitely.
So I do like that about him, and I think I think you're absolutely right. How their relationship develops is really good,
so lovely, and it's because I think we talked about that in the last episode, like how Claire forms all these friendships and Jamie doesn't seem to form new ones, and I think this is one of probably the only ones really, and it is so lovely, and then
young Ian. I mean. He's not in my hot men list, no offense, but I just think he's a really great character, and I just think the performance is so wonderful.
Yeah.
So again, a character that you're going to see as an adult, you'll have already seen him as a child,
teenager,
but he's
going to
come back as a teenager, and I just think his performance is just wonderful.
Yeah, and he's so good.
I'm gonna have to save it to the
yeah
to the recording for the beginning of series three, because there's some great scenes in that with him, and all credit to the actor. It is his performance that just takes it up and to a different level. He is just like one of my favorite things. I always enjoy him in it.
Yeah,
I think, you know, how his character develops is
he's
really,
got and he's
really
got just
great.
Really good development, really good complexity.
Yeah,
I think they gave him some great storylines.
Oh,
which is just
really
kind of
really
a credit to what his
they're not on our hot men list. No offense, everybody.
No offense. But there is what there is a spoiler I could have said about Lord John, but I won't say it. But you know my. You know, I feel we'll talk about it when it comes. Doesn't matter.
Talk about just save it for the episode.
Save it. And so, then we get to Hot Men, which brings me to
Adult Fergus is
Big
on
Ian.
The list.
Yeah,
not young Big Fergus. We're just let's just be clear. We are talking about the adult
Fergus.
Who arrives
very hot.
Really, Caesar Donboy. Very good looking young man.
Very, very good. Very hot. I mean, not good looking. He's very hot. So Big Fergus. Big
if
Ian.
Anybody's seen him in SAS Rogue Heroes, he doesn't have his top on very often.
Oh, no, I haven't. Well, you've never told me about that.
Fergus, adult Fergus, hot.
Very hot. Very hot. Hot on and off screen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so Big Fergus, Big Ian.
And then we've got Big Ian. Let's just be clear.
Stephen
at no
Green.
Point is referred to as that in the TV show. We have just decided, because we've talked about young Ian, we literally went Big Ian / old Ian.
Old Ian. I literally couldn't think of the opposite.
To apologise.
I couldn't think of the opposite to young, and I just went big. This is every time I was like, what about Big Ian? And Ruth's like, what, you mean older?
I really feel like we should apologise to Stephen Crate. Sorry, because I think
Stephen
Crate,
you're very
Stephen
hot.
Crate is younger than me. You're on our hot list. Just be happy that you're on a hot list.
Yes, he is very much on the hot list. He is actually hotter when we go back in season three. He's definitely
so when he is
hotter
old.
So when he is old, like, he is...
And by old, we mean in his 40s.
In his 40s. Like, when we go back to when he's in... Where does he first appear? In the brothel. Like, he is definitely hotter when we go back than when we go back. I mean, I don't want them done with that wig, but I tell you what.
I'm literally trying to stop spitting drink all over my laptop. At that.
But that's some good wigging.
So much in from, there.
From some good wigging from old Ian. I do find Stephen Creed very, very hot, and I love when he does when actual Stephen Creed does his human talks. He does these little these little bits where he pretends he's Sam Heughan, and he does, and it's like a talk show called Heughan Talks, and if you can look up any of them, they're just so hilarious. And he just pretends that he's Sam Heughan talking and interviewing people. They're very entertaining. But other hot men,
villain coming up in season 3, who I think is hot.
Yes,
but also, and I think we've talked about this before, is yet another victim of the Irish hatingness of Outlander.
Yeah. Oh, villain. But also, I remember you telling me this before, that is it Graham McTavish or Graham Tavish?
Yeah, Graham McTavish.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about this before, and you were mentioning that a friend of yours found him hotter than Sam Heughan.
He's her. Shout out to Lara. he is the person that she fancies the most. So yeah,
I don't feel it, but I get
for
it.
All tastes.
Yeah, I don't feel it, but I get it.
I get it. If we're gonna talk about hot men, I think we have to. You know, Sam Heughan is hot.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, he is. Oh, he's just delicious.
He is.
He's just. I mean, if anyone's caught up with our Instagram this week, which, by the way, listeners, please just go on to Instagram and follow us. 10 Things Outlander.
We've got more people listening to the program than we have followers on Instagram. That is tragic, and we will not accept it.
Yes, but and there's lots of these lovely little tidbits about. Like, for example, Jamie's hair.
Exactly.
Yeah, even with his terrible wigs. Obviously no wig.
Those wigs can't even make a little dink into how hot he is.
No, how hot he is. And do you know what always, like, literally stops me in my tracks is if I've been watching, like, later episodes and I go back to season 1, you're just like, oh my God, he is just breathtaking.
He is breathtaking. I mean... I'm always really interested, like, when people are cast and, like, sometimes they'll say about, like, who didn't get the job and things like that. And you're always a bit like, oh, they might have been a better version. But I can't imagine anybody else as Jamie. He's sexy. So, I mean, he is, in a weird way, he is the object of, you know, in a way that women often are in shows. He is the object of desire in Outlander, but that's not all he is, because he is a good actor. He really is, gets a lot of meaty stuff, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that. And I think he doesn't get enough credit because he is hot, and I think he's kind of dismissed.
He's very hot and very,
but he is a fine man.
Yeah, he's just so,
and that's all
he's
I'm
just
saying.
Got everything. It's just so difficult to when you to, like. I remember when I first went down this beautiful rabbit hole of Outlander, I was like, I remember messaging Ruth, like, I'd watched like about 2 episodes, and I was in, I remember where I was. I was in Whole Foods in Stoke Newington in London, and I messaged Ruth and I called it, what's that? Highlander. And I was like, and Ruth was like, it's not Highlander, you dick, it's Outlander. And I was like, I am sucked in, like, sucked in. Like, there is no walking away from this man.
You're not the first person that's made my...
I'm not the first. I definitely won't be the last.
So I've recommended this program to so many people.
Yeah.
And Sharon is one of the few people who has watched it and kind of gone, thank the Lord, thank you, Ruth. This is literally the best thing you've ever said to me. Irrespective of the fact that we've known each other for more than 10 years, this is the best thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, it's the best thing you've ever done, and nothing you can do compete this. So
yeah, exactly. Just, yeah. But I've been recommending it to a friend for ages, and then she messaged me saying, oh, I've started to watch Outlander. I started to watch that program that you recommended me, but I'm a bit surprised it's not really what I thought it was going to be. And I was like, oh, really? And then she started to sort of say things. I was like, that sounds strange. And I was like,
what was an Highlander?
I was like, was it? Are you watching Outlander? And she was watching the Highlander TV series from the 90s. And she was like, I did think it was weird that you'd recommended it to me. And then I was absolutely weeping with laughter. And then she did eventually watch Outlander and was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, shout out to Lou.
I think, oh, I love it. Lou, well done. Jesus.
Like, got there eventually.
I think the most.
The fact that she didn't go, has Ruth lost her mind? What is this crap that she's recommended to me? Why is she saying there's loads of sex? There is just people with bad haircuts so far.
recommended it to my one of the most traumatizing situations I've experienced is recommending it to my mother-in-law, who absolutely adores it, and then and literally talks about like she talks about it like openly, and I've never had this relationship with her before. He's very hot, continues to be hot, doesn't stop being hot. It's just a fact. You watch any of the, I have these in my Instagram. I have like a happy folder where I put like you were just saying, if someone made a, I put something that to my happy folder. One of them is like, just the two of them on like, just looking at each other on set. And you're just like, yeah, you two, you just make everyone happy.
That's the end of our list, I think.
Yeah,
that's the end.
I mean, we could, go on, but
I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of it we could have turned into thing, not things we love about Outlander, but things that we just fancy about Outlander.
Yeah.
But you know,
one of them being glassware.
Glassware could have been on that list, and you could have had me talking about glassware for 5 minutes. So just thank you for stars, listeners. That's all I'm saying. I could have literally just been talking about glassware. I've added it to my list for the talk discussion about the next episode, because that's how much I like the glassware in Outlander.
You know,
anybody who any glass makers who'd like to sponsor the pod.
Yeah, I'm here
for you. I am here for you. But yeah, so that was our Hogmanay loving.
Yeah. And we hope you're having a nice Hogmanay.
Yeah. And I hope this little bit of Outlander love has maybe ended 22 nicely for you. And we'll start 23 even better.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, we've got some good stuff coming up after this one, which is, yeah, I definitely enjoyed researching the next episode of the pod, so definitely stay tuned, and we'll see you on the 9th.
Yeah, happy new year.
Happy new year.